Peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the parable of the Good Samaritan, including the verses leading up to it, where Jesus says, "Don't rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear and didn't hear it." And then we have the lawyer, the expert in the law of Moses, testing Jesus and asking him his question, and Jesus replying with the two great commandments, the commandment to love the Lord our God wholeheartedly and to love our neighbour as ourselves, followed by the Good Samaritan parable. And Jesus concludes, "You go and do likewise." Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, don't rejoice that your mission has been so successful, Jesus tells the 72 disciples when they report back to him. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. Don't congratulate yourselves on the fact that not only have you preached in Jesus' name, preached the gospel of the kingdom, but you've been healing people and you've been casting out evil spirits from people. Don't congratulate yourselves on your own spiritual power. There's a warning here for pastors and zealous Christians. If we rejoice in our own spiritual accomplishments, our rejoicing is tainted and impure. It's too focused on ourselves. Jesus says, "I'll show you the way to a rejoicing that is pure, a rejoicing that is sure. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that you've come to faith in me. Rejoice that your heavenly Father has opened up the mystery box in which you find me." If you were here last Sunday, you remember Pastor Mills in the children's address, he had a little box, and it was a mystery box, as he called it, and at the end, of course, there were lollies inside it. Well, I only brought dog food this morning. But that's the mystery that Jesus is talking about. The mystery that he speaks about in the lead up to the Good Samaritan story. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father." It's a mystery who Jesus is. "Or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Anyone to whom the Son of God opens up the mystery of the Father. "And blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and wise men desired to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear and didn't hear it." Nothing can give us greater, purer, surer, and more enduring joy than faith in Jesus. And our faith in him will always be active in love, as St. Paul writes to the Galatians. Martin Luther writes, "Faith is a divine work in us which changes us and makes us to be born anew of God. It kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different people in heart and spirit and mind and all powers. And it brings with it the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It's impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them." Now, we mustn't get the wrong end of the stick and think that by our good works, by being active in love, that this is what justifies us before God. I remember a dear faithful lady in my last parish. She and her husband were hardly ever missed church and just really faithful people, an elderly couple. I'm sure she had faith in Jesus, but she was still having doubts. She was still worried by her shortcomings. And one day she said to me, "Pastor, I hope I've done enough." Like the lawyer in our gospel story, there was a part of her that still wanted to justify herself on the basis of her good works, rather than looking to Christ Jesus alone as her righteousness. As we sing in the hymn, "Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress." All of us continue to fall short every day, don't we? Every hour of every day. None of us loves our Lord wholeheartedly. None of us loves our neighbour as ourselves. Our only sure, lasting hope that covers us in time and in eternity is in Jesus. But where there's faith in him, there's always love and mercy and generosity and open-heartedness towards others. As the Samaritan sets the example, the pattern for us to follow. That steep road from Jerusalem down to Jericho, it's about 18 miles, 30-something kilometres. Very, very steep, very, very rugged, very, very desolate. An ideal place for bandits to hide out. Here in Australia, we've had our highwaymen, haven't we? In Papua New Guinea, especially some years ago, there were rascal gangs preying on travellers on the Highlands Highway and on other roads. When we were up there recently, we heard that that problem on the highway has been stopped because everything now is transported in containers and they can't get in. And on other roads, another road that we travelled on, which had been very unsafe when we were there years ago, was now the gang responsible was no longer operative. The priest in Jesus' parable had finished his fortnight's duty in the temple and was returning home to Jericho. He was afraid. He didn't want to touch the man who'd been attacked. He was afraid the man might have been dead, so by touching him, he'd be ceremonially unclean and therefore not qualified to go about his duties as a priest. Maybe too, he was afraid that the gang would come back. And the same with the Levite. Both men failed to be neighbourly to the man who, by chance, most inconveniently, had been placed in their way. And so they made a wide detour around him. They weren't even prepared to check and see if he was still alive and there was something that they could do for him. How different from our merciful God, whom David praises in the psalm. Psalm 10, "You see, you notice trouble and distress, that you may take it into your hands." That's what our God is. He sees, he notices trouble and distress of all kinds, that he may take it into his hands. And so, like our merciful God, the Good Samaritan sees and notes the man's distress. He forgets himself. He's totally fearless. He focuses only on the man's need, this man whom God has placed by chance in his way. And he quietly goes about helping him, soothing and binding up his wounds, bringing him to an inn and taking care of him. No fuss, no showing off, just doing enough to help the man recover and get on his feet again. And so the Samaritan models the true faith that's active in love, the spirit-inspired faith that makes us self-forgetful people who bear the ninefold fruits of the Spirit that were so nicely displayed in our sanctuary a couple of Sundays ago. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's this faith in Jesus, as Luther puts it, this faith is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, apart from faith in Jesus, as branches attached, grafted into the true vine, apart from letting ourselves be nourished by him, his word, his sacraments, we can do nothing that truly serves our neighbour and works for not only for his temporal good, but his eternal good. Unless we're constantly sitting at our Lord's feet, listening to his word, like Mary in next Sunday's gospel, all of our social welfare activity and our other good works will be a lot of clanging and banging, like Martha in the kitchen. And we see it again and again. People without faith are totally self-centered, like that priest and Levite, locked up in their own world. Now, non-Christian people are often good citizens, aren't they? And they do a lot for community welfare and well-being. This is called civil righteousness. But in terms of spiritual righteousness, the righteousness that has lasting, eternal value, only people with faith in Jesus are blessed with that. A member of my last parish in Bendigo, Antoine, was facing a losing battle with cancer. He had a number of brothers, none of them practicing Christians. His carer called them the brothers from hell. When they heard how sick he was, they visited him for the first time in many years in order to check out the property, what they stood to get from the estate. Their insensitive visits upset Antoine so much that it sometimes took him days to recover. He, on the other hand, was totally different. And here's a man who hadn't been to church for 40 years, who'd been a grader driver, pioneering. He'd always done a lot of hard outdoor work, grader driver. He was in the first line of graders with the Dillingham Company putting the Highlands Highway through in Papua New Guinea. And in later years, he worked similar hard work here in Australia. Didn't go to church for 40 years. But dying of cancer as he was when I became the pastor there. He remembered his baptism as a child and his confirmation lessons when he was 20 or 21. And these had left a mark on him. Returning to the church, he bought himself a Bible and read it right through. Unlike his brothers, he had become a very gentle person. His carer said that he was a man who'd do anything for anybody. He had become a good Samaritan, a man transformed by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith that was active in love. A man not with much capacity anymore, but a man ready to do anything for anybody. It's planting this faith in Jesus that's the church's core business. The church is the only place where people can hear the blessed tidings of the forgiveness of sins and find real lasting peace with God. And if we fail to plant and water that faith and that peace, who else is going to do it? And as we plant and water the faith with God's help, people are transformed from fear-filled people like the priests and Levites into peace-filled people with a living, daring confidence in God's grace. Without that faith in Jesus, we can do nothing as a church or as individuals. But with that faith, we'll be a church that's truly active in love, alert to the best ways of serving wherever we can help our needy neighbours and be truly neighbourly to them. As individuals, each in our own vocations, we'll gear ourselves in everything we do so that we are ready to serve our neighbour as opportunity arises. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.